live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I'm Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 174 of the Fields of the Real podcast.
And yeah,
super excited to announce that college football season is on this way.
2 weeks away. Yes.
High school has already started.
Get my countdown from UGA every week. Yep.
Huh?
I said I get my countdown from UGA every week, 2 weeks, but yes.
You know what? You mentioning them kind of lets me see that I see where you're leaning with this next topic, or this who's really right. And guys, we're looking at the preseason AP top five in college football. Yes. And so right now, our who's really right is that we're going to give our top five, whether it be that we're in line with the AP's top five, in Steph's case, whether we have a different top five or, I guess that's the same thing. So yeah. We'll pick our own, or we may agree with the AP top five. Yeah. But I'm assuming that yours is different. So I'm going to let you go first, Steph.
Okay.
So let's
say what it is.
Let's say who's in the top five. So number one is Alabama. Number two is Ohio State. Number three is Georgia, UGA. Number four is Clemson. And number five is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now, what do you see wrong with this stuff?
A couple of things. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand how it is that Alabama lost the national championship game and are coming in at number one. I'm not even debating that it should be UGA, okay?
Yeah.
Because I will honor why UGA is where they are for the fact that they lost so many people on defense. So until this new defense, we're going to see if Kirby Smart's system, I'll say, is just a plug and play, or if he just had an anomaly with some freakishly amazing defensive players last year.
Okay.
So I respect that Georgia is not number one. However, I do have an issue with Alabama being number one. Okay. But then I also am, I have no top five in order, I will say that. Because this is always weird to me that they do this, first of all, based on what, right? but I feel like it's a slap in Georgia's face to have them behind Ohio State, if nothing else. Okay. So the least you could do is, yes, if you're going to question Georgia's defense, then at least put them at number two. But I will also argue that every year Alabama loses a boatload of kids, to the NFL, and they seem to still make it to number one. So, all that said, again, those are my bigger beefs. The next one is, how is Notre Dame in this? How is Notre Dame in this? I don't know who would replace Notre Dame. I can't remember who number six is. Who is number six?
You know what? I'm going to check it out in a second.
Okay. Because this is disrespectful to whoever that is. I don't even care who they are. So I would still say Alabama needs to be in this. UGA needs to be in this. Even Clemson, I'm questioning why you in this.
Texas A&M.
Okay, so I'm going to cheat this week.
Okay.
And just say, I don't know that there's a top five because I feel like college football is getting to a point of parity where I don't know that there's a team that's going to be able to just say for sure they dominate.
Right.
And because I wouldn't put Texas A&M, I mean, it's just in my head, these are not the schools that pop to my mind first.
Okay.
So I'm having a hard time, even if I wanted to rearrange this list. So to be fair, I will just give from the people that they've picked, I will rearrange this. Okay.
Okay.
Alabama, I'm gonna leave them at number one because who else? Georgia, Ohio State. This is so hard. Clemson and Notre Dame. So I would switch Ohio State and Georgia.
Okay.
But that's me in protest. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah. I mean,
because I don't feel like none of these people, other than Georgia and Alabama, really need to be in this conversation.
Of course not.
Just saying.
We all know about your SEC bias.
Hey.
No. So I think one of the things that we have to find out, and I don't think we probably have to do a little bit of digging just to find this out. What are they using as the tool to come up with this top 25? I'm going to say there is a combination of where the teams left off last year, how many players the teams lost, and what their recruiting class rankings look like. Now, so looking at the top, let's go 10 recruiting class rankings. You got Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Clemson. That's the top 10. And okay. This is courtesy of 24/7 Sports.
Okay.
I think given that where they left off last year, and this is just me making my pick, and how many players the teams lost. I think that it's hard to even with you know them losing the national championship last year, it's hard to not vote Alabama number one.
Yeah. Nick Saban has shown his plug and play works.
But for me, looking at what they had last year, I would go with, and they knocked off Alabama last year. I would go with Texas A&M at number two. Another SEC school. But they had the most five-star recruits this past year.
I was going to say, what you just said kind of makes them make more sense. Again, right. Disrespectful. Then my point, it's disrespectful that Notre Dame would be ahead of them. Like, it's disrespectful to me.
I'm curious to find why the AP voted them in.
Yeah.
My number three is obviously going to be Georgia. I don't know why Ohio State was ranked ahead of them. As a matter of fact, Ohio State lost to Michigan last year. And I think they'd be in danger of losing to Michigan again this year. So my number four is actually going to be Michigan.
Oh, that's an interesting pick. Okay.
Yeah. okay. And so number five for me. So number four and number five are teams that weren't on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Texas at number five.
If I had to do it again, that would probably be what I would do is pick Texas over Notre Dame. Texas would be my wild card to come out of all of those, of like, for real.
Yeah.
I feel like they've got the synergy. It's good. Things are good there right now. I feel like they looked really good to me last year. I feel like they just needed to get over a hump. So I agree. Yeah. But I would put Texas at number five over Notre Dame for sure. Yes.
So that's my top five. And
okay,
if it was a bit choppy, that's Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, Michigan, Texas.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at yours. For me, it was just hard because I felt like I was having such a hard time trying to understand why some of these teams were in it in the first place. So that's why I was like, why aren't they even? So I spent too much time complaining about it and not really looking at like what are the alternatives, I think, because I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
I couldn't understand why. I mean, they had the number 7 recruiting class. I didn't understand why Notre Dame was in this top 5. And I think it's one of those things where, like, I talk about SEC bias. And you see, look, I say that about you, and I had 3 SEC teams.
In the yep.
I think there is a Notre Dame bias. I think that they're, you know what I'm saying, people really
State won, too.
Yeah, definitely.
It is. Because what are they doing that's making y'all feel like this? I don't understand.
Well, every year they're somewhere around it. You know what I'm saying? Up until losing to Michigan last year, you know what I'm saying, they were right there. And to come in with a top 5 recruiting class, you know, I mean, what I'm saying?
Part,
you know, I can see why people would say, okay, Ohio State may be turning the corner, given that their coach is, this is year 3 for him. Well, is it year 2 or year 3? Year 3.
2. No, this is 3. This is 3.
Yeah, this is 3.
Because, 3. Yeah, this is 3.
Yeah, because
3. Wait, yeah.
1.
No, it's 3.
Yeah, gotta
3. 3. Yeah.
Okay.
So you said the word is the trigger for me, turning the corner.
Yeah.
Not that you turned the corner.
Right.
Turning the corner, which, this is annoying me, y'all. My light keep going out. Anyway.
Oh, still doing? Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
It's okay. I'm going to leave it out because it's annoying me.
Well, I think when we talk about preseason top 5, it's a projection. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to look at, we can't solely look at what happened last season because it's college football. Players transfer, players leave, new players come in. Yeah. And so we got to make our projections based off of kind of all of the evidence that's available to us.
Right.
You know, like, there can't be an expectation that Cincinnati is going to do what it did last year, right?
Let's do that next week.
Okay.
Have our Cinderella pick.
That's good. I like that. Yeah.
Let's not talk about that.
Nah.
And let's have our Cinderella pick next week. So y'all already know who's really right for next week. But yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be me. Look, you wasn't even talking about that. You was talking about the topic.
Exactly.
I had to steal some glory for myself.
Yay! Get it in. It's all good.
Nah, but you guys let us know who you think is really right between ours, but also go ahead and create your own.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that in the comments. Let us know who you think your top 5 or who
the top,
your top 5.
5
would be.
Yeah, because it ain't these. Oh, shut up, Stephanie. Sorry.
we can revisit at the end of the season.
Yes, I want to see where we are. We never do things like that. We really need to start doing that.
Right.
Yes, we need to come back to our topics sometimes. Sometimes we do, but very rarely.
Yeah, let's put a pin in this one and check it out at the end of the season.
Yes, this one and next week.
Real good topics.
Yeah.
All right, let's start off with this first one. And this is, I think, for a while going to be a hot button issue. And before I dive deep into the NIL and college football, I just want to say the Coldest Crawford and his commercial, the air conditioning commercial that he had.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything that we didn't know we needed. This is what the NIL
is. This is what the NIL is all about.
Yes,
like,
this is what
literally.
And so I love it. You know what I'm saying? I love that for him. I love it for his family. I love it for his brand. You know what I'm saying? And so.
Right.
You know, people are starting to figure this NIL thing out. And I think that every college football team should do with what some of these college football teams are starting
LSU
to do.
LSU really is taking this by the horns, and I appreciate it.
And that's what should happen. You know, so they brought in an outside consultant to handle this NIL thing.
Yeah.
While also keeping the schools out of trouble, because I can see how the Wild Wild West could come from this.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just kind of be a lawless thing where, you know, all types of stuff is going on. But, you know, the schools themselves hiring a consultant to make sure that they stay within bounds with what's happening, I think is a good preemptive move, you know.
Yeah, and it's not just for them, it's for the students too, but the student athlete too, because it allows them to safely have somebody who is not biased or has some personal interest in what they do one way or another. Right. That's kind of, it's almost like having your own attorney, or you know what I mean? Somebody who truly just like, I don't have the fight, a dog in the fight. I'm looking out for your best interest. What does this look like? You know what I mean? So, and just offering them advice as they ask for it, or as things come to them, or even I think the consultants that LSU hired are even taking it a step further and kind of vetting the things that come to them.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's necessary.
Right. And so that's kind of how they got this, how they got to this part of consulting in the first place, is because they were vetting so many of the people that were trying to make these deals with these kids to see what was really good for the student athlete, but also compliant with the schools, right? So that nobody would get in trouble. And so I feel like it's a win-win, as long as it stays where these consultants are keeping their hands out of the pot of what the kids get, and the schools aren't being able to dictate what they do, even though they're bringing them in. Do not put parameters on them and what they can and cannot do for the student athlete. If those things are in place, then I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think all the schools should have some
semblance. It should just be mandatory.
Yeah.
NCAA should just hire some, like have a resource for every college team so that they can reach out to whichever, like, we're not going to tell you which consulting firm or agency to use, but here's a directory of all of the ones that we feel like would be, you know, safe for you to partner with, and let them go for it. Because I feel like, but you all got to pick somebody. Every team has to pick somebody and do this. That's the easy way to do this. I feel like it just makes sense. It just makes sense. And we can eliminate a lot of the confusion, a lot of the mishaps, all of that kind of stuff. So why not?
Yeah.
It's because they're happening whether you wanted to or not. So you might as well, you know, I think that's what I liked about this story. LSU just said, okay, we're going to stop griping about it and just figure out how we make it work.
Yeah.
Keeps down distractions, keeps that, all that. Yep.
So, yeah. Shout out to them for figuring it out.
Yep.
All right. So, Jalen Hurts. He is a beloved figure by his Eagles teammates.
Yes. I love this.
They all defend and fight for him.
Yes.
Because he's just a great human being.
Yeah.
And their head coach, Nick Sirianni came out to the first practice wearing a Jalen Hurts shirt.
Yeah.
And him and, you know, I think he was traded there.
Yes.
New receiver A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
Yep. Have become BFFs.
They were already.
Were they really?
Yes, they were already BFFs.
They didn't go to school together, did they?
Yes, they did.
Oklahoma or?
I think Alabama.
Alabama, okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know where I thought A.J. Brown went.
I think they both went to Alabama. I think that because they've been best friends, like way before this, but yeah.
But A.J. Brown came out wearing a Hurt season hat.
Love it.
Do you think this is, you know, a formula for success?
So I will talk from not sports, just in general life, business side of things, so to speak. Good leaders understand that in order, you gotta do things to make other people great leaders, right? If you're a great leader, you want to see other people evolve into great leadership, right? And a formula for that is positive affirmation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to always that is not me saying if you're wrong, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Right. It's not me sugarcoating things, but it is me letting you know that you are valuable.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if, especially in this NFL, there's so much more to me cutthroat. I always think about Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady. When I think about players who, when they get hurt and they're so worried about their job, or Drew Brees, even, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he had to go to New Orleans to get a job, right? After being hurt. So with the NFL being the way that it's sports, period, but I'm be talking to NFL right now, being the way that it is, and nobody's loyal to their team, nobody's really loyal to each other. It's not that anymore. I feel like this is a great thing to see, and I hope it catches on. And I hope, what I really, really hope is that we see Jalen Hurts take the biggest leap.
Yeah.
Because he knows his team has his back, because he knows his coach has his back. And it's not just about defending him to people and critics and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's, we trust you and we believe in you, and you are our leader.
Yeah.
This is why Tom Brady, in my opinion, was a great, is a great quarterback, because he's never had that pressure. He's always known that he was wanted.
By his teammates.
Yeah, teammates, coach, he was wanted. The owner.
I don't know if he always got that from his coach.
No, at the end it wasn't true. But I feel like first couple of Super Bowls they won, I don't think he was a Tom Brady fan at that time.
I think that, and this is what everyone kind of remarks at, and this might have been done more to like kind of band the team together, is that like the head coach is going to treat Tom Brady just like number 53 on the roster. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that can come across as maybe he not be that big of a Tom Brady fan. But I think he
was, you know, a Tom Brady.
Like, he loved Tom Brady. He just wasn't willing to treat him
different.
Like, kind of like he wouldn't be getting this treat. Like, Bill Belichick's not wearing the Tom Brady t-shirt.
Oh, no. He don't, if the shirt ain't got his face on it, he not gonna wear it. So,
But this is why I don't necessarily think that this is a formula for success. I think you definitely have to, you know what I'm saying, show that you have confidence in your quarterback.
Yes.
Rex Ryan got Mark Sanchez's picture tattooed on him somewhere. Can't remember where it was. I don't know if it was arm, leg, whatever. Back.
We talking about butt fumble?
Yes. To me, a tattoo.
That's too much.
While it may be too much, like when we're ranking, you know what I'm saying, what a coach is doing to show that he is sold out and all in for his quarterback, a tattoo ranks up there pretty high. You know what I'm saying?
That's got this. What's above that? My God. Like, unless you gave him a lung or something.
Giving him a kidney or a...
Yeah, you got to get
an organ or something.
Like an organ or something to be a top tattoo in him.
But I think that ultimately, no matter how much you do that, if they don't have it, they just don't have it. Now, I'm not suggesting that Jalen Hurts doesn't have it.
Yeah.
But I am suggesting that based off of, though limited, based off of the information that we have, he hasn't fully shown that he can be a full-time quarterback in the NFL. Mm. Like, okay. What he's done in his short time, to me, doesn't even trump what what's the quarterback for the Washington football team?
I don't know. That's your team. What you mean? That ain't my team. And they're the Commanders. Stop that.
The Washington football team. I can't think of his name right now. Carson Wentz.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm saying that what he did in his short time with the Eagles.
Yes.
Is a lot more than what we've seen from Jalen.
Not a lot more, but
A lot more. I say a lot more, I mean that in the first couple of seasons, if you remember, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate before going down with that knee injury.
I understand. Last year was better. I think the learning curve is just different.
Yeah.
I think the learning curve is and who does, I mean, he's finally got a, sometimes it's personnel too. I'm going to just say that.
No, definitely. I mean, it's so sometimes many different factors. It's so many different factors. And that's why I say that, like, this one factor, confidence from the team, isn't just one recipe for success. It's so many things that lead to it.
Absolutely. And it's different for different quarterbacks. Everybody doesn't need that, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like he might be one that's, especially when you've been revered in such a high regard. It's such a high regard. You know what I mean? As a quarterback, you played for Alabama. Then you went to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You have been held in such a high regard. And for some, because this happens for everybody who goes from college to the NFL.
Right.
Because you go from being a superstar in college to you just like everybody else now.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about you stands out unless you're an exceptional player. Right?
Right.
And sometimes that adjustment is hard for them. And so some people need to have that pick me up. Some people don't. And right. So I feel like it is case by case, but I feel if you do happen to have a quarterback who's struggled a bit to make the adjustment or not necessarily seeing the result that they thought they would because of the player they thought they were, things like this can be helpful.
Yeah.
Things like this can be helpful. But I hope I hope to see him take it to the next level. That's what I hope. That's my hope for him, to see him take it to the next level. I don't know. I've been reading some stuff that's saying they feel like the Eagles are going to be that team this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, every year it's a different team in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people were saying it could possibly be the Giants, though. Because the Eagles went to the playoffs last year.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to see. We'll see. But, yeah. Okay. That's fair. That could have been a Who's Really Right right there.
Nah, it really could have. All right, let's jump to this Deshaun Watson topic. And I'm going to try not to let my disdain for Commissioner Goodell bleed all over this topic. But after the NFL made the decision to appoint a woman to be the arbitrator over some of these rulings, that Goodell would typically have his hand in, he made the decision after she gave her ruling to give Deshaun Watson 6 games as his fine for these allegations against him. Roger Goodell appealed the ruling and pretty much disregarded that, gave him an 11-game fine with a $5 million fine, which is the largest in NFL history, with $1 million being a contribution to $1 billion being a contribution to sexual abuse and the sexual abuse organization and mental health counseling.
Yeah.
So he... Now, the mental health counseling.
Absolutely.
I get, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But after
even if he's innocent, he's had PTSD at this point.
Definitely.
So he needs it, yes.
And And regardless of, you know, regardless of if it was sexual assault or sexual abuse, given whether it be consensual or not, given the allegations, that may denote some sort of a problem.
Absolutely. There's, you know, a perception that you have versus what they have.
Right.
Of what you did and your actions, regardless. So, yes.
But given that the criminal charges, and we know that sometimes criminal charges just don't happen in situations like this because it is he said, she said, and rape is pretty hard to prove.
Yes.
My issue isn't necessarily with the fact that there was no criminal charges found. My issue is with the fact that criminal charges were found or filed against Bob Kraft. And we saw no punishment in his case, but there were no criminal charges here. And we see a punishment of more than half the season.
Well, you know, when we talked about this, after the arbitrator's ruling, mm-hmm. I felt like without talking about guilt or innocence, mm-hmm. if we're just gonna say he's willing to eat it regardless, right? Mm-hmm. Guilt or innocence out the window, that him getting 6 games was equivalent to what Ben Roethlisberger got.
Right.
And I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. So it's twofold for me. I know you said we were trying not to do this, but he's the person that's doing this, so I have to say his name. Twofold problem with Roger Goodell in this situation for me. One, you said it. He disregarded. Why have an arbitrator if you're not going to listen to what they had to say? That's first. Two, if you just said it about Bob Kraft, and I'm saying this about Ben Roethlisberger, if you are not going to make those types of decisions for, and I'm going to have to, what other choice than to bring race into this do I have? Why that for him?
Right.
What's the difference between the three people we talking about? It's race.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to talk about Bob Kraft, just him and Ben. Mm-hmm. Whether it was one or 200, it was still the same allegation.
Right.
So what is the difference in Ben Roethlisberger and Deshaun Watson? Race.
Yeah.
So now you're going to make me question you. Are you a misogynist and a racist?
You cooking today.
What else am I supposed to take from that?
Right.
You dismiss this woman and then you double this man's, practically double this man's punishment versus somebody else. And the money, just, we ain't even talking about. I have no problem with him being fined. I had no problem with him having to be suspended because it's the he said, she said, and it was going to always be hovering. If they didn't do anything, it was going to be a mess. I get it. Something had to be done.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the fine. I had a problem with the amount and the time.
Right.
I do.
Yeah.
Because unless you can tell me why it's different, I don't know what was the point. And she had already given her ruling, a woman. Anyway, I'm stopped. I'm
on
the soapbox now. Go ahead.
I just think that Roger Goodell wants to have the final say.
Then you shouldn't have an arbitrator.
Recusing himself. I think he wanted to do that just so he could put that in place, just so it sounds good. Like, okay, I'll recuse myself and I'll only take over with appeal. Well, if you appeal every ruling, you know what I'm saying?
Did he appeal the flight gate?
No. Well, but that's he didn't have to appeal the Deflategate, if I'm not mistaken, because I think he's the one
who he's the one that ruled. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They just did this whole thing.
I need to look at some other stuff. I'm gonna look at that. Look at some other stuff that there were arbitrators involved to see his track record on this. Because yeah, that's interesting. Anyway,
his track record is gonna be different with owners than it is with players, because I've yet to see any true accountability happening with the Washington football team.
Manders.
And Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, now that's ridiculous. That right now, that is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So these people, you feel like because they pay your salary, that's why you...
That you're not going
to be... Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. Either you're going to do your job or you're not.
Right.
Period. Anyway, I feel my blood pressure rising.
I see it. Real roll call.
Yes.
All right, we're gonna run through these pretty quickly.
Okay. We've been doing good. We did good last week.
We did. Yeah. We rolled through those pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I added one on here for good measure, but we talked about it throughout the week.
Oh, I was like, oh God, you know.
No. It's really just a kind of an opinion thing based off of that article we read that we both reacted to. But we'll start with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. They're going to be splitting the play calling in New England. Do you think this is a good idea?
Heck no. Mm-hmm. Like, it's confusing enough I always argue for Matt Ryan, and why I stood up for him was because he always got different offensive coordinators just about every year. It is hard to get cohesion and get in a system and learn and do well if I got to change all the time. So two people calling with two different styles and two different thought processes, because you're not saying y'all gonna just call what I say. You're giving them the autonomy. It's stupid.
So this isn't really a unique thing. If you look around the NFL and you look more so around college football, some teams do have run game coordinators and pass game coordinators. And so they work together. I think ultimately in a lot of those cases, it's the head coach's job to say, all right, this is what I want to go with, run a pass. And then whoever that coordinator is, call the plays.
Okay.
So, not a bad idea.
Okay.
All right. Next one. The Patriots Panther practice this past week got a bit dicey on Tuesday and Wednesday, where there were altercations. Players got tossed, and even a fan got hurt.
Yeah.
Do we need to stop this whole joint team practice? And go.
I don't know why we do it in the first place, but I'll say this. I don't mind the chippiness. I feel like it's good for them, like, to get ready for the season or whatever. But however, when we start talking about fans getting hurt, that's where we draw the line. So maybe it's not about stopping the game, them doing this, but maybe making an effort to protect the fans more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the NFL and these teams like to make money, so they probably will continue to have fans there, because my suggestion would be to remove the fans. But you got to continue having these joint practices because, you know, teams get tired of playing against each other, hitting each other, whatever. And now that you have less preseason games, you have to give these younger players who you're trying to see if they're going to make the roster – opportunities against other players and other teams.
Yeah.
More opportunities.
Right.
All right. So this last topic is the one that I just added. So we saw the article, I think I sent it to you, or maybe you sent it to me, I can't remember, where Aqib Talib is the person who started the fight that ultimately ended with a youth football coach being killed by his brother, no less. How did you feel about this after seeing this, based off of Aqib Talib's kind of troubled career? There you go.
I was disgusted. That's the words I'll use. I was disgusted. I actually put up a post. Somebody else posted something and I reposted. They posted the gentleman who was killed. And I posted, my post was to add to what they said, basically PSA, please stop taking weapons where kids and their loved ones are, one. Two, if you know, if you have people in your life to tell you that you can't control your emotions, or you know that you have emotional issues, you need to seek help. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to say about him and his brother. Y'all need to seek help.
Definitely. I think this is what happens when keeping it real goes wrong. You know, Aqib Talib has, I think he has loved to be talked about as one of the people who is about that really? Life.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what happens.
Right.
So,
Aaron Hernandez.
Right. I think that he should be charged too. With
you incited this. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He should be charged too.
Problem with that. Absolutely. I'm with you. Absolutely. Absolutely.
On to the real.
Yeah.
So this young man, I would have to say, I have to start off with this, is a former player from my former team. The
Washington
they are not Redskins. A former team. Because the Washington football team and this mess that's going on in D.C. right now, or Virginia or Maryland, depending on where they practice and the plan, is I'm not a part of that no more. I've been delivered. I'm going to find a suitable team for my needs going forward. But to talk about this young man, Darrell Young, who is currently the director of player development for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
He was in the DMV, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, was kind of a pillar in our community. Mm. He was a starter at fullback, but he did a lot of stuff in the community, whether it be like book bag drives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he's from originally, but he kind of made himself, you know what I'm saying, a figure in, mm-hmm. in the DC metro area. And so to see him, you know, I hadn't kept up with him since he retired, but to see him kind of resurface in a position like this one, director of player development, is awesome. And he's doing this position with aspirations of becoming the general manager. And I think that's awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
For someone like him, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those things that we said that we wanted to see more players, more Black players, you know, in these key positions, in these positions of influence, you know.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't want to rain on this by saying that we still need to see some of these people in ownership.
Of course.
But to see someone like him be in this position is really truly awesome to see. So shout out to Darrell Young.
Absolutely.
You know, what did you think when you saw this?
Oh, I was elated because I love his attitude. Mm-hmm. When I read this, I love his attitude. I think that your statement about him like immersing himself in the community when he was in DC was he epitomizes, I think, what we want to see every athlete, the mindset we want to see every athlete have. And that is, I know that there is more than the sport. And so he was already kind of positioning himself in those moments while he was playing to get into a place where he could be in this position. He spent the last three or four years working for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So just putting himself in the right places and not having the mindset that once this is over, I don't know what I am, or I'm nothing, or I got to go into coaching, or I got to do this, or, you know, like not putting himself in a box, but saying I have aspirations. Even as a player, he had aspirations of where he's headed. So I love that he was all, this is why we do what we do, right? We want to see them all have this mindset. This young man's mindset is what we are looking to help all of these young people have. Like, I got real dreams and you know what I mean? So kudos to him. Shout out. If you happen to see this, hit me up. Because yeah. I would love, listen, the Steelers are my, anybody who watches or listens to us mm-hmm. knows, the Steelers are my other team, right?
Alternate team. Mm-hmm.
They are my team. And so I would absolutely love the opportunity to do some work from a certified coaching standpoint, mm-hmm. and whether that be life coaching, transition coaching, spiritual coaching with this team.
Yeah.
And you, as the director of player development, are the person mm-hmm. that can make this happen. And I would love yeah. to do this with you from the standpoint of you're making a name for yourself in this league, in this role, and to be able to help you do that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Would be amazing. I would be honored.
So somebody get this to him. Somebody who listens or watches, get this to him. And hit us up, bro. Hey, we're gonna put the email address in all our socials at the end of this recording. So please get that information to him, please, if you can get it.
Yeah, I would love that. That'd be awesome. But kudos to him. Either yeah. way, I'm just happy that he's in this space, in this place. Somebody who's been through it, knowing exactly what they need, is exactly what makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good stuff.
All right, feel good final thought.
Yeah,
now we had this on the docket for last week, you know, and for those of you who listen to us, we routinely, like, especially if somebody passes in sports, you know, make sure that we speak about them. So we hope that you guys didn't listen and say, hey, they ain't even mentioned, you know, Bill Russell.
Yeah.
No. But we
not gonna happen. Not gonna happen that we
But we wanted this to be a feel-good final thought because Bill Russell has been just such a staple for the NBA and just a ambassador for the game for so many years. We did talk about him last week.
Briefly.
We spoke about his passing, but we just didn't extend this feel good final thought because we were holding it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Russell's number, his number 6, will be retired. So all of the players who have it now, they'll be grandfathered into this. But when they leave the game or when they change their number, because I'm sure that some of them are going to change their number just out of respect.
Right.
Nobody else in the NBA is going to wear the number 6.
Yeah, every team is retiring this number.
Yeah.
And I think that's very dope.
Yeah.
It's such an appropriate honor for somebody who did so much for the game.
Yeah.
That he would be the one to receive this honor, that every team is going to retire the same number. And right. And I love it.
I think it's befitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, you
absolutely.
Know. I think that obviously probably one of the most recognizable NBA player in the history of the game is Michael Jordan.
Right.
But I think that when we think about this league and its foundations, you know, you can't mention the NBA without Bill Russell.
You cannot.
So this honor is definitely fitting for him.
Absolutely.
So God rest your soul.
Yes.
Bill
rest in peace, King, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, show picks.
Show
what
picks.
You watching?
So I'm embarrassed to say it, but I do. I can't help it. There's this little teenage-y kind of show that I love. This is season 3 that just came out. It's called Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
And it's really cute. It's one of those things I like to do sometimes mindless TV.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of one of those, if it doesn't evoke emotion. Okay. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't make me think. I can just watch it for the entertainment value of the show about these little teenagers and their life. And it's just cute. And so I watched the first 2 seasons of it, was excited when I saw that season 3 was out. And that's what I did. I've been watching Never Have I Ever.
Okay. So I'm a need for when I mention The Real Housewives of Atlanta, you not to look at me with that side eye that you're doing right now.
You know why? Because that evokes emotion for me. Maybe that's why.
I can see why. It does for me too.
It evokes emotion for me. So it can't fall in that category for me because, yeah, I walk away feeling some kind of way. So it's evoking something.
So I do too, but I think that even with the drama that is associated with it, I think that a lot of the positives that I take away from some of the more positive cast members is kind of some of the things that I hang my hat on. So even that's in fair. Its mindlessness, you know, to see a Candy Burris kind of continuing to like expand and grow and be one of the few people on this show who is actually from Atlanta and has been in Atlanta
her whole life. You know, yep.
And has created her lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yes.
She's the reason why
recreated and recreated and recreated. Yeah, basically.
100 times over. Yeah. So shout out to her because, like, she's moving.
Okay. All right. But, no judgment. Go ahead.
All right. I'm sorry. We spent our time on that. That wasn't even my show. So my show is the Murder, Inc. documentary. Mm-hmm. And if you were a fan of hip hop in the late 90s, early 2000s, you have to know about Murder, Inc., Irv Gotti, and Ja Rule. And I think this gives some good insight on kind of what happened to them, where they went, you know, their origins, and kind of just, you know, where they went wrong.
Okay.
So I think that it's if you haven't seen it yet, you know, being a fan of hip hop. And maybe even not being necessarily a fan of them and their music, but just some of the people that they've touched, like, you know, episode 2 kind of talked about J-Lo and some of the records that...
Janet from the Block back then.
Yeah. Talked a little bit about, you know, how Murder, Inc. was kind of able to resurrect her career in a way.
Absolutely.
You know, with a couple of smash hits. And so just even hearing the stories about that, even if you aren't a fan of them, you know, was definitely eye-opening. So...
Okay. Cool.
Definitely check that out.
All right.
But Steph, we are at the end of another one.
Yes.
Episode 174.
Yeah. We are
precisely 26 episodes away from our 200th episode, which is crazy to think about. It's funny. I think once Jack asked me the other day, he was like, "You guys did 172 episodes?" I was like,
"My dog got old."
Right.
Oh gosh. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about being this close to 200.
200, yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Guys out there, if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us at our email address. That's field2therealpodcast. And to double back around, if somebody can get that information to Darrell Young, we would truly appreciate it. Our Twitter account is at field2therealp1.
Mm-hmm.
Our IG, field2therealpodcast. And if you want to reach out to us on Facebook or look at our videos on YouTube, you can look right past Stephanie's head where you see field2therealpodcast. No number, the letters T-O, field2therealpodcast. Search those on Facebook and YouTube and we should pop up. On YouTube, go to our videos. We have quite a few of them. Like, share, subscribe. Comment, all that good jazz.
Absolutely. We appreciate y'all.
We truly appreciate y'all. We love you guys. We are out of here. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, don't put it. You know.
Today is too tricky. I'm good.
Yeah.
Nope.
We out. All right. Now put the cameras on me. 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 Put the cameras on me.